Live from the Too Big to Fail Sports Studios in Miami, Florida, the panelists, Tommy and John, bring to you a sports podcast that is Too Big to Fail. Welcome, everybody.
What up, everybody? It's been a little while. We've been gone for about, a week and a half or so?
Yeah, it's been a bit more than that, dude.
2 weeks, maybe?
Yeah.
Mostly my fault, not so much his. I've been busy with doing some studying, doing a little stuff. Plus, I started another a blog of my own, a political blog.
Which he's going to plug at the end.
Yeah, we'll plug that at the end.
And along with my blog.
Know about it, so.
Yeah, and and as for me, I've just been too lazy to find a fucking co-host.
Yeah, so...
And the reason for that is simply because of the fact that, no one else seems to have time. I'm the only loser.
So, it's all right. I mean, we're back. So, what we want to really talk about is NFL.
And we're going to go only into the NFL. Yeah, that's right. This show is all NFL talk all the time.
All NFL. Every single division in every single league.
And college.
And college at the end, yes.
Well, we're not covering the UFL, obviously.
No.
Yeah, what's the point?
Does anyone... I mean, I guess some people care, but I don't.
Well, I mean, the UFL does have a fine collection of NFL washouts. Coaching. I believe Jim Haslett is coaching one team.
Okay.
And Jim Bossel's coaching one team.
Oh, that's great.
It's good to see those guys getting work.
Yeah, I mean, if not, they'd be analysts, and we really don't want that. I've seen Jim Bossel as an analyst. It's not a good thing.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, one Brian Billick is one Brian Billick enough.
Yeah, but so...
But anyways, which division do you think we should start with first?
I'm going to go ahead and be biased and say AFC East.
I'm going to go ahead and say AFC East as well. You're absolutely correct. Actually, here's my little theory. First off, with the exception of the AFC West, the AFC is the superior conference between the two.
Oh, yeah.
This has been proven in this decade based off of the fact that 2000, the Baltimore Ravens won the Super Bowl. 2001, it was the Patriots. 2003, 2004, Patriots. 2005, Steelers. 2006, Colts. 2007, and 2002 have been the only 2 years in this decade where the NFC has won the Super Bowl.
Yep. Because, of course, everyone knows Pittsburgh won again last year. So.
Yes, Pittsburgh is the defending champions. But we're going to start with the AFC East because, of course, we're Miami Dolphins fans. QT Payne. And that's who we have to go with. However, the Miami Dolphins are not our picks to win the division.
No. As sad as it makes me to actually say this, the Patriots are going to end up winning this division.
The Patriots are going to win this division with a 12-4 record.
Now, the Dolphins, it's not that they're not going to be good. I think they're going to actually be an improved team. However, they'll probably end up going 8-8 because of their schedule.
They have a tougher schedule, and they have many of the same problems that they had last year, which is they can't seem to stop a third and long to save their life.
Yeah.
And their special teams has actually been putrid.
So far. I mean, I'd like to
see... It's only preseason, but
so far. I'd like to see what happens in regular.
The Dolphins are going to score a lot of points this year.
Yeah, our offense looks like it's going to be a lot better. The offensive line... They shored up in the offseason.
They're going to score a lot of points, and the only way to beat the Dolphins is by engaging them in a shootout. You would think, okay, that's great, right? No. No. Just ask a New Orleans Saints fan.
Yeah.
Not great.
You don't want to engage in shootouts because eventually some defense will be able to stop you, and then what are you going to do?
Yeah. And let's take a look at this. There are 10 elite quarterbacks in this league. You have a Donovan McNabb, both of the Mannings, Roethlisberger, Brady, Warner, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees. Am I missing someone?
That I know of, no.
I said 10 originally. But I only have 8.
You want to put Matt Schaub in there?
No. Okay, point is, out of the 8, here are the quarterbacks of the Dolphins. Oh, Drew Brees. Did I mention him already?
Yeah, you mentioned him.
Okay, here are the...
Cutler.
Yeah, I didn't put Cutler there. Who gives a shit? Anyways, these are eight elite quarterbacks that I named. Here's who the Dolphins will be playing. Their first week, they go against Matt Ryan in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Second week,
that's gonna be a tough one. Okay, look, Matt Ryan, he came in the league. He was offensive rookie of the year.
Yes.
He was, to me, he's not a rookie. I mean, he played 4 years in college. Actually, five, I believe, because he was a redshirt freshman. He was 5 years in college, so the guy is definitely not a rookie. He came in, to me, he wasn't a rookie last year. And I knew he was going to be good this year. With Tony Gonzalez as tight end, you got to watch out. But.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to be a tough matchup for the Dolphins.
And the week after that, they face off against Peyton Manning. We know how that's going to go.
Especially since Manning this year is real healthy. Last year, look at what he did, and he wasn't even healthy.
I know. And then a few weeks after that, they take on Drew Brees. And, of course, two against Brady.
Yeah.
And the last game of the season against Big Ben.
That's always fun.
Yes. So out of the 10 elite quarterbacks, we face five of them. And one of them we play twice.
So let's...
I'm already calling it. In those six games, we're probably going 2-4. Because we know you know that they're going to win one game against the Patriots.
They have. I mean, just the rivalry, it always happens. It always
you know they're going to win one game a year against the Patriots. And I think they're going to beat the Saints.
Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting season. We're gonna be one of those teams that'll be on the fringe on whether or not we'll make it. Maybe contending for a wild card, definitely not a division.
Yeah, no, they're gonna finish four games in back of the New England Patriots because I have the Patriots at 12-4 and I have the Dolphins tied with the Bills at 8-8. The Bills are actually gonna improve by one game this year. Terrell Owens is gonna get them a one game improvement.
Yeah, he's not going to be that much of an improvement for them. If anything, he's actually going to probably cost Dick Duran his job eventually. Maybe not this year, but maybe a year or two.
We'll get to that later, actually. And then, finishing in last place, J-E-T-S!
Jets
suck!
Yeah, okay.
Don't get me wrong, I like Rex Ryan, and I think Mark Sanchez is going to be the most overrated quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
I see some shades of Joe Willie Namath in there.
I haven't seen anything really from him in the preseason for them to even. I actually thought Clemens played a little better.
Yes, in Mark Sanchez, I see some shades of Joe Namath in him. Meaning, if that means in 30 years he's going up to the token hot female sportscaster and saying, "I just want to kiss you. I don't care if we're struggling. I just want to kiss you," then I'm all for that.
Yeah, that's great. That's what the Jets have to look forward to. Because when's the last time they won a Super Bowl?
1969. Keep in mind, the last time the Jets won a Super Bowl, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, and Jimi Hendrix were still alive.
And you know what? I know we're Dolphins fans. It's been a while for us as well. But we've had competitive teams. The Jets have just been one of those franchises where it's just like...
Sometimes they're competitive, sometimes they're not.
We've, aside from a couple years that we had the 1-15 and the 6-10 years, aside from those years, we've actually been pretty competitive. So...
And our famous star quarterback has never embarrassed himself.
Right.
So yeah, that's our preview of the AFC East. The New England Patriots win it with a 12-4 record, and they're going to get the number 2 seed in the AFC, in my opinion. What about you?
Yeah, I'd have to say number 2. I kind of like Pittsburgh as probably number 1.
I mean, well, I'm getting there. But first, we're going to make a stop in the AFC South, where I have the Tennessee Titans finishing in first place with an 11-5 record and the number 3 seed.
Yeah, they'll be good again this year just because they have that running game. And if you're Kerry Collins, you really don't have to do much when you have a running game like that.
Well, actually, let me get to that. I think that by the middle of the season, Kerry Collins will not be their starting quarterback.
Vince Young?
I think it's due for the return of Vince Young. I don't understand what happened to Vince Young last year, to be honest with you. His first 2 years, I thought he was fantastic because he pretty much had nothing around him. And he still kind of has nothing around him, but everyone seemed to get on him and everything. And I think it kind of got to him because that was the first time it ever happened. But now after a year and everything, you know, I think he's been able to handle it better. And plus, you know that their offensive coordinator is thinking, wait a second, we can run the Wildcat with Vince Young and Lendale White.
It's not even the Wildcat situation. On top of that, the guy, he's actually a pretty good quarterback. He's improved statistically over the years. Last year, now, he had all the anxiety issues and everything, so he had an off year. But
last year, he didn't play after the first game.
Right, statistically, throwing the ball, he's
and to tell you the truth, Collins isn't a bad starter or backup. So I think they're actually very good. They're actually very good with that they can plug them in. I wouldn't be too surprised to go really old-school Miami Dolphins if the Vince Young, Kerry Collins thing turned out to sort of be like a David Woodley, Don Strock situation.
Yeah.
That would be, and it pretty much fits the, it fits that mold. Because, you know, in Collins, you have the seasoned backup, which is what Strock was. And in Young, you have the young athletic guy, which is what Woodley was. Now, does that mean that the Titans are eventually going to draft the second coming of Dan Marino? No.
Probably. I mean, there's no way that they're not going to invest their entire future on Vince Young. Yeah, he is their future, and you want to have him there for the future. And I hope he succeeds, because you know what? He's actually a pretty good guy.
And I like him a lot.
So I'd hope he succeeds, ever but since you know, that, just insurance-wise, they're going to draft
him more. Ever since that Texas-USC game.
Yeah.
Which...
What a game.
Wow.
One of the best college games of all time.
Finishing in second place and grabbing the number 6 seed in the playoffs, the Indianapolis Colts with a 10-6 record.
Yeah, the only reason I'd say that they'd have, and I'd agree with that record, maybe I'd push it to maybe 11-5, is their receiving core is a little weak this year. But with Manning, of course... Does it really matter?
Do not count out Peyton Manning.
Don't count out Peyton Manning. I mean, yeah, the receiving core sucks in comparison to what he used to have. I mean, he doesn't have Harrison. He still has Reggie Wayne, but you're missing that one key component in Harrison.
He still has Gonzalez.
He still has Clark now, too. And
yeah.
So,
yeah.
Plus, he's healthy. Look at what he did last year, and he wasn't really healthy. This year, I expect around 4,000 yards.
Yeah, and I think what's really going to lead more to the 10-6, 11-5 mark is just the fact that they're pretty much a team that's kind of in flux. And I to this day, I don't understand why they didn't just say, you know what, why don't we just make Peyton Manning the offensive coordinator as well as quarterback? I think it's because of some kind of salary cap issue.
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, the guy runs the offense.
Yeah.
He knows what to do. He knows.
I could be the offensive coordinator of the Colts. It would be very easy. Peyton, you know what to do. Just do it.
Yeah. I'll sit here with the little mic set and pretend I'm doing something.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get a head coaching gig out of it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Finishing in third place in the AFC South, the Miami Dolphins bugaboo, a.k.a. the Houston Texans, who we are going to beat this year.
Although, you know what? They are actually in the AFC for me. They're my sleeper.
Well, I have them going 9-7.
They're my sleeper, and they might be the team that will decide whether or not we're going to get into the wild card spot or not. I think they might go ahead of us and take the wild card spot.
Oh, well, then we're fucked because they've been our bugaboo.
Yeah. So they're my sleeper team.
Every game we've lost to them, and we play them again this year, every game we've lost to them has been by a field goal.
They're my sleeper team. I see them being much improved this year. As long as everything comes into fruition. I mean, last year they should have done a lot better than they did.
Like with Rose, you know, the whole Schaub injury and Rosenfels.
They've done well actually building the team, so.
Yeah, the thing is that team... Honestly, they're about as dull as the dishwater, because actually they had one of the best offenses in all of football last year.
Yeah.
But no one talks about it.
No, no one talks about it, just because, you know, if you're not in the playoffs, you're not making the playoffs, and, they're not going to talk about it.
Fantasy alert, Andre Johnson.
Unless you're the Cowboys, of course. But...
Andre Johnson?
Andre Johnson. I think he's a top receiver, AFC.
Yes.
AFC top receiver. I know Randy Moss in the AFC. No, Andre Johnson.
Okay, and now for the last place in the AFC South, which I really don't want to talk about because it makes me hard, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
5-11.
If I were Jacksonville, which
first off.
If I were Jacksonville, before you go into your first off, what were they doing trading away most of their picks to get a one guy pass rusher? What they should be doing is starting to rebuild the team because, yeah, David Garrard is still young, but I think you have to revamp that entire team because that team is not going to be going to the Super Bowl anytime soon.
No, not just that, but also I would even suggest this. The Jaguars should move from Jacksonville. Here's why. Their stadium is built to hold 80,000 people. However, they only hold two events a year that holds 80,000 people in that stadium. Florida versus Georgia. World's largest cocktail party, even though we're not allowed to call it that anymore.
Whatever.
Fucking political correctness. And the Gator Bowl. Jaguars games, though, they actually block off some of the seats. And even then, they still have problems selling out. Last year, I think they were the most blacked-out team in the NFL. That's ridiculous. I'm sorry, there's no excuse for an NFL team to not sell out in their market. And you would think Jacksonville's so football-crazy, but here's the thing. In Jacksonville, they're into college football.
Yeah.
It's all about Florida and Georgia, Florida State. So, I honestly think, why are the Jaguars still in Jacksonville? How come they're not in L.A. yet? Does Florida even really need three football teams? We have two big dogs that have... run the state. Really, one has run the state more than the other, and I'm pretty sure you can figure it out. And anyone who says the Tampa Bay Bucks, no.
Yeah, no. The Dolphins are obviously the Florida team.
They are the Florida team. I went to college at UCF for a year. There were more Dolphins fans than Bucks fans. Of course, some of those Dolphins fans I wanted to disown because that year, North fucking Turner stopped us from going to the Super Bowl by saying, hey, I have the number one rusher in the league, and all we have to do is kill the clock to beat the Patriots, so we're going to pass the ball three times. And all the Dolphins fans seem to become Bucks fans after Gruden led Tony Dungy's team to the Super Bowl.
Oh, by the way, Dolphins still the only undefeated team. Yeah, I don't count regular season. You got to play throughout the entire...
Actually, let me get off on a tangent, okay? I had a conversation with one of our podcast subscribers who is going to become, well, a member of one of our most famous clubs, our only club, right? And he actually asked me this question. How can Dan Marino not win a Super Bowl when he was on the undefeated team?
And when I actually heard this from Tommy, I was like, wow, this guy really knows his facts.
Not!
Yeah, because obviously no one's ever talked about Dan Marino being one of the best quarterbacks to ever win a Super Bowl. No one's ever said that before.
No one's ever said that before. But of course, you know, he's a Patriots fan and he had to bring that up.
Of course he was on the only undefeated team that was in 72 when he was drafted in, what, 83?
Yeah, 1972. I believe he was 8 years old.
11 years difference. Don't see how he can...
He was 11 years old. I don't know why Don Shula would play an 11-year-old quarterback when he has Bob Greasy and Earl Morrill.
But don't worry, he's our new PA, and I don't mean public announcer.
You'll know at the end. Let's get to the NFC, to the AFC North.
Can't believe it. AFC North.
The AFC North.
I mean, this is an easy one. Pittsburgh.
Oh, it's not that easy.
Yeah, I have them going division-wise. Baltimore will get in as most likely the wild card.
Actually, I have Pittsburgh going 13-3 and Baltimore going 12-4.
It'll be. I'm not saying it's not going to be close, but I favor the defending champion.
No, me too. Me too.
Pittsburgh, I think, is going to win the division with Baltimore as a wild card team.
Yes.
The West.
Well, hold on. We got to discuss Cleveland and Cincinnati too.
Do we really?
Well, Cleveland's going to be 7-9. I think they're going to be a little bit better.
Cincinnati might be on the fringe of 8-8, 9-7.
No, I have them at 4-12.
Really, that bad? You think so? I don't know, because it all depends on how Chris Henry is. Whether or not he actually stays clean, I heard he's motivated and dedicated now, so maybe he'll actually...
Still don't have a defense!
He'll be that TJ Houshmandzadeh for him.
Cincinnati still does not have a defense.
We'll see what happens.
Alright, now we move on to the AFC West, which honestly... you know what, just for the sake of this, why don't we call this the Pac-4? Because honestly, I don't think any of these... I think, with the exception of the Chargers, I don't think any of these teams could beat USC.
Could we possibly have the division winner coming out from here with a worse record than both wildcard teams?
Well, we had that last year.
I mean...
And actually, I do have it like that because... Well, I did. Until I found out earlier today that Castle injured his knee, and I don't know how serious it is. But before Castle injured his knee, I actually had the Chiefs emerging from that putrid shithole of a division... at 10-6. And the reason I had them emerging at 10-6 over the Chargers is because of the simple fact that something just feels right with the Chiefs. At least it did until Castle got hurt. I don't know the severity of the injury. Do you know the severity?
I haven't heard anything as of yet. I've been trying to figure it out and see if they tell us something, but you know how things are. They usually release it like later on.
Exactly. And on top of that, Pioli's in charge of the team, so you know that it's a Belichick guy that's coaching. So you know, and you know how the Belichicks like to... you know, cover things up.
I would like to see Kansas City as an improved team, but my team that I think is going to win the division, I think will go around 9. It's going to either go 9-7 or 10-6. Will be San Diego, and my reason for it is this has to be the year. Look, if San Diego and LaDainian Tomlinson don't perform this year, Norv Turner's gone, and so is Tomlinson.
They're not going to perform this year. They're going to finish 7-9, and Norv Turner's gone. But I think Tomlinson will stay on. More on that in a bit.
I don't think Tomlinson will stay on. I think he'll actually leave and go to some other team where he won't have to be the future back, but he'll be in a two-back system.
He'll be in a two-back system in San Diego as well. Like I said, more on that, more on this in a bit. And to round it out, I have the Oakland Raiders finishing 5-11 because they're the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Jamarcus Russell's looked really good in preseason.
Yeah.
But everyone else hasn't.
Because they're the Raiders.
And
you know they're going to have their dysfunction.
Their main strong point was supposed to be their running backs, and they've looked terrible.
Yeah.
I know it's the preseason, but in the preseason you can at least see some sort of flashes of what's going to go on. And They've looked terrible.
The Oakland Raiders, the commitment to excrement since 2002.
Yes.
And rounding out that division, finishing in last place, are the perpetually rebuilding Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Well, they're perpetually rebuilding now because apparently they figured that a coach that has led them to 2 Super Bowls and 6 playoff appearances in 15 years or something like that just wasn't quite getting the job done anymore, even though the problem was the defense.
No, so they decided to hire one of the youngest coaches to ever.
Who's ever proven anything. And then alienating their star quarterback, who is kind of a bitch.
Yeah, and we'll get to that.
We'll get to that later. And is right now in the process of getting rid of their best wide receiver as well, who's also a little bitch.
Well, I wouldn't say they're getting rid of him, but I see it coming.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we're fortune tellers here.
And now on to the NFC East, which is probably the best division in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, you can make a claim for that. Maybe not so much, just because I don't know how Washington's going to be this year.
Well, to be the best division in the NFL, you only really have to be 3 deep. It's a 4, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they are 3 deep. First, my first place team, the Philadelphia Eagles. This was before Michael Vick, and I think Michael Vick would actually be a good weapon for them, because I think they're going to use that Wildcat, and they're going to use it well, between him and Westbrook and McNabb and Buckhalter. What are you going to do? And they drafted a pretty good receiver, too.
Yeah, it's amazing. People aren't really paying attention too much to what the Eagles have done the last couple of off seasons, and they've mainly improved their team through the draft. They got DeSean Jackson, which great receiver last year as a rookie, and now they picked up Jeremy Maclin. Mm-hmm. You know what it is to take Jeremy Maclin? A lot of people thought Jeremy Maclin was one of the better wide receivers aside from Crabtree.
And he fell to the Eagles, and he's going to be better than Crabtree this year because Crabtree's holding out like a little bitch.
The same way that DeSean Jackson fell to the Eagles. The Eagles just seem to get gems fall into their laps. And another one was McCoy.
Exactly.
The Pittsburgh running back, who is similar to Brian Westbrook, so which is your insurance chip now, because if Westbrook does get hurt...
Which he usually does.
Which is pretty much... it happens. It's going to happen. You have McCoy there who can offer you the same abilities and fill in that role. With Vic, the addition of Vic, first off, I'm happy Vic's on a team. Enough of all these
I'm also happy about was the fact that there was barely any PETA protests during that Eagles game.
Yeah.
And there were actually more people in support of him. Good job, Philadelphia.
I mean, they had a standing ovation for him. I mean, good job, guys.
Good job, Philadelphia. It's very rare that you would actually congratulate Philadelphia sports fans for showing class.
Yeah, because they usually don't, but...
But in this case, they did, because they realized, you know what, this guy deserves a second chance, and, you know... Honestly, I think that's why Philly sports, with the exception of the Sixers and the Flyers, have actually, you know, been on a bit of an upswing in the last couple of years, because their karma's starting to turn around.
Yeah.
Because their fans are acting more civilized and more behaved.
Yeah.
So...
Well, exclude the... after the post-World Series celebrations, but yeah.
Well, yeah...
But, I mean, it had been a while for them, so...
It had been a while for... I mean, come on. It had been a while for the entire city.
I wouldn't be surprised if whenever Chicago finally wins, you know, the stuff that's going to happen.
Well, no, not really, because, you know, they did have the Bulls in the 90s. Oh, wait, they tore up the city after the Bulls won it all. Never mind.
Yeah.
How come it seems like, of all the places, you would think Miami would go the most apeshit over championships? But right. Ours are pretty peaceful.
Yeah, ours are actually... I mean, we go crazy, but they're pretty peaceful.
We don't tear the place up.
No.
If anything, the celebration of Castro's possible death was more crazy.
Yeah. And unfortunately, he's still alive and praising Obama right now.
God damn it.
Anyways.
But Philly, let's just say this. If the Eagles actually do win the Super Bowl, then I want Cole Hamels to make an appearance just to say, we're all fucking champions! Right?
I'm going to go on a limb here and say that both the Giants and Eagles finished 12-4.
I actually have the Giants at 11-5 and the Eagles at 13-3. The thing with the Giants is you wonder, what are they going to do with that Plax? They'll be fine.
They'll be all right. Okay, look, they have some good receivers there, plus Eli Manning's good, and they have that running game.
And they still have that defense, and they still have Umanura, so...
No, they'll be all right. I think it's going to go down 12-4. My pick, however, is going to be, although I do like Philadelphia, I'm going to have the Giants winning the division, only because they're going to have a tie record, but the Giants are going to own the tiebreaker.
I think the Eagles are just going to finish 13-3, and that's that. Because I see the Eagles sweeping the Giants. And the Giants are also my wild card team. They're the number 5 seed. The number six seed is actually coming right up after that. And, they just broke into, their beautiful new stadium where apparently the punters are hitting the scoreboard.
Well, of course, there's always a controversy in Dallas.
Always. That's how Jerry Jones does it. I know that this is kind of a dated reference.
Think it was purposely done?
Of course.
Come on.
Now, honestly, I know that this is going to be a very dated reference for many of you. But are you familiar with this television show called Dallas that was, like, one of the biggest hits of the 80s?
No.
Who Shot J.R.?
Okay.
Now you know what I'm saying? Okay, J.R. Ewing was this oil tycoon, one of the best villains, one of the best characters in television history, right? Jerry Jones reminds me a lot of J.R. Ewing, because the thing about J.R. Ewing, what made him such an entertaining character, and, why he was so loved, even though the guy was a douchebag.
Yeah.
But he was just so loved because he was entertaining as hell. He was a very well-written character. People actually felt sorry for him after he got shot, even though he was the biggest douchebag on the show. He was named one of the greatest villains in television history. Jerry Jones reminds me of J.R. Ewing. All he's missing is the cowboy hat that J.R. Ewing used to wear all the time, but still. I mean,
say what you will about the guy. The guy definitely cares about his team.
He cares about his team, and he wants to win. I know this is probably old news, but he's buried the hatchet with Jimmy Johnson a long time ago.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
And they were actually at, I forgot who was in concert, the first concert that was held at the new Cowboys Stadium. I think it was Reba McEntire. No surprise, right?
No.
And they were both sitting together, and they were both shown on the big screen in Dallas. Loud applause. Say what you will about the Cowboys team, but their fans actually know their shit about football. I mean, obviously, I think you have to. I mean, because you got to admit, they kind of are the most spoiled fans in football. But they at least know their shit, and they're not obnoxious about it, unlike the Yankees fans, or the Red Sox fans, or the Patriots fans. Cowboys fans, it's like, yeah, we've been successful in the past, and they know that they haven't exactly been all that successful in the last few years. But, they at least know their shit about football. Well, they're going 10-6 and making it to the playoffs, and they're going to be a number 6 seed.
Yeah, I have them at 10-6 as well.
All right, but you have them making the playoffs.
Wild card, yeah.
Me too. So both the wild cards are coming out of the AFC, of the NFC East. Now we go for the rest of the NFC, which I would like to call the Big 12.
Yeah.
No relation to the actual Big 12 in college football, which we will cover later. But these are the Big 12 because, honestly, out of these teams, there's really not much in the way of quality. First, we'll start in the AFC, in the NFC South. I keep on confusing the two. I don't know why.
NFC South, it's...
And notice how I've never confused these when talking baseball.
It's gonna be a close battle between Atlanta, New Orleans, and Carolina.
Well, to me, I have Atlanta at 11-5, and as the second seed in the playoffs. I have New Orleans at 9-7, just missing the playoffs, and I have Carolina at 6-10.
6-10.
Yeah, because you know how Carolina always seems to do it. Have you noticed that there's a pattern? One year they'll be, crazy and they'll go like gangbusters and they'll finish 13-3 or something like that, and then the next year they always slip into 7-9. No, this year it's 6-10. Because the thing is, I'm still not quite sure with the Loam and, you know what I'm saying?
Atlanta for me is my division winner, except I have them going 12-4. Mainly because I think the addition of Tony Gonzalez really improves the team. They already have a great running game. Matt Ryan is going to be that much better.
And they already have a great defense.
They have a good defense, so I expect them to get 12 wins.
And New Orleans, they still have a horrible defense.
Yeah, so I could see them going 9-7 and being
and
on the fringe.
They're going to be like another Dolphins, where the only way to beat them is by engaging them in a shootout. But since their defense is so porous, it's going to be pretty easy to engage them in a shootout. And then at 4-12, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Has there been a team that's been that has become a bigger mess in the offseason than the Bucs?
I mean, I understand what happened last year. They had that little breakdown, but did you really have to break everything up because of that?
Yeah, here's why I think they had that breakdown. Because the Kiffin family, both Lane and his dad, Monty, they're both selfish assholes, pompous asses. We don't have to explain why Lane is, but Monty took that job while he was still coaching the Bucks, and that fucked with his focus, right? Now, if your son is the head coach and you really wanted to coach with him that badly, I'm pretty sure he would have waited for you to finish the season to hire you.
Yeah.
I'm almost absolutely sure of that, so why... Take why take the job at that time? You know? I'm sure he had time. Whatever. So because of that, and, you know, I think it also cost Gruden his job, although I don't think Gruden's ever going to coach again because I think he was born to do Monday Night Football. He has the perfect face for television, and, you know, he's very smart when it comes to this. And on top of that, like, his entire life, he's been the type of football coach that that went to sleep at 3:30, woke up at 5:30, slept in his office and all that. I think doing Monday Night Football, only having to work one day a week, he's probably going to be like, wait a second, I'm actually enjoying this. And he's young enough where he could really be the next John Madden. Oh, fuck. Wait, where is he?
No, I told him we're doing a podcast tomorrow, so he's not gonna be around here.
Yeah, that, and also just in case, I also laid some traps around the studio perimeter, and there's a turducken in each trap.
Okay, so it'll take him a while, even if he were here. So.
Yeah, exactly, because if he can get out of one trap, he's gonna go into the other one. Turducken. There's a turducken and a number 4 jersey in each one.
Which will bring us into the
NFC North.
Yes.
All right, now, my original pick to win the NFC North with a 10-6 record was the Minnesota Vikings. Then you know who had to come back.
Brett Favre.
So I put them at number 3, 6. I put them at in third place at 6-10.
I'm still going to put them at 10-6, tied with Green Bay, but I think Green Bay will get the tiebreaker and go into the playoffs.
Because they will beat
Aaron Rodgers.
They will beat
impressive.
The Vikings twice. I have them going 11-5 and making the playoffs as the number 3 seed. The Bears, this is Lovey's last stand, and he's not going to do well. They're going to finish 8-8. And do we really have to get to the Lions? The Lions are going to show improvement this year.
They're going to be 4-12.
3-13.
I say 4-12. I'm a little more optimistic. I kind of like Stafford.
Cole
Pepper's probably going to start, but Stafford will get some playing time, and he'll get them the win.
I like Stafford, too, but you know, I think 4-12 is just way too optimistic for the Lions.
Before we get into the West, I do have to mention, though, we were bad-mouthing Sanchez. He had a good game tonight.
Yeah.
He went 13 for 30 would have been crap, for 149 yards and a touchdown. But out of all this, what really impressed me was Hakeem Nicks of the New York Giants. 6 receptions, 144 yards. Another great pickup. They picked him up at the end because during the pro workout day, he was a little overweight. Oh, good. Sorry if I'm a little overweight because I decided to not exercise in the off season. As soon as the guy starts running, you know he's going to lose those 10-15 pounds he's overweight on. So it's like, come on.
Another thing to look at is, wow, David Carr's numbers were actually very impressive.
David Carr's number, Manning's were okay.
But Manning, you really, you know.
Yeah.
You know he's going to turn it up in the regular season. David Carr's number is pretty impressive.
Well, I've always thought David Carr, if you put him in the right situation, would have done well. I think putting him in Houston where he was just getting battered really...
They had no offensive line. They were an expansion team,
really,
and they just said, you're going to start from now. You're going to start...
It dropped
from
his
confidence. Yeah.
I mean, he's in a good position right now backing up Manning, and who knows, maybe if he's able to show off enough, they'll be able to use him as a trade asset, and some other team who needs a quarterback will use him.
Some other team that needs a quarterback, like, say, the Minnesota Vikings?
Yeah, that'd be one. And you know what? David Carr isn't bad. With Minnesota and their offensive line, I could see him actually doing really well.
With Adrian Peterson?
Yeah.
Shit, yeah.
They do really well.
And the reason why we don't think Brett Favre is going to do well in Minnesota is because... It's not because he's Brett Favre, but because of the fact that he's Brett Favre. Meaning they're going to tailor the entire offense around him. They're going to let him be the gunslinger. Which is stupid because they have the best weapon in the National fucking Football League right in their backfield.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson. So if there's anyone that's going to lose out of this whole Favre...
Adrian Peterson and all the fantasy owners that chose him.
Which is fine, man, because I want the Vikings to end up essentially having Adrian Peterson leave so the Dolphins can pluck him up.
Yes, and we can run the Wildcat with him and Ronnie.
Yeah,
as soon
nice.
As Ricky's ready to retire and start smoking weed again.
Yeah, and do practices, whatever.
Whatever, for the hell. Anyways, now getting on to the NFC West. Which was where last year's Super Bowl representative from the NFC came from. And speaking of them, I think they're going to be okay. I don't think they're going to be anything special. They're going to be 9-7.
Same as last year.
But I see them in second place and missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
But in first place, I have the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I have them going 10-6.
Me too.
I think they're going to be much improved. I mean, I just saw... You saw how they played under their new coach, and I really like this new coach. He's instilled
Singletary,
this,
yes.
He's instilled this fiery passion in all of them, and they seem to be playing a lot harder and to their potential. Maybe not so much Vernon Davis, which I think is going to be moved at some point because he is a little bit of a cancer on that team.
Yeah, and we're not going to, and whoever's going to trade for Vernon Davis, he can have his brother too.
Yeah.
His brother Vontae, of course, plays for the Dolphins and has been already, for some reason, I have keen abilities when it comes to football. One of these is figuring out who's going to be a first-round draft bust. Vontae Davis has not played a single official down in the NFL. He's a first-round draft bust. Especially since Sean Smith is going to be something special.
Yeah, they really like what they're getting out of Sean Smith. Now, Vontae Davis, obviously, because we're invested in him, he will end up playing. Now, I see him more as a backup to Sean Smith / Will Allen. He's going to be featured just because of the way our defense is set up, no matter what he's going to end up playing. I have seen some improvement in the preseason, but Sean Smith, to me, just has more of an instinct for getting to the ball.
Yeah, the only problem is the fact that Sean Smith also came down with the swine flu, which really sucks.
Yeah, but I saw him play in the last preseason game, yeah. So he must have picked it up already. So, I mean, we'll be all right.
Finishing in third place in the NFC West is the Seattle Seahawks. They're kind of...
I see them as 8-8, me maybe 7-9.
I see them as 8-8, too.
Because I like the fact that Matt Hasselbeck's back. Maybe it'll do something because TJ Houshmandzadeh is there, and their running game's not too bad. I just don't like the whole transition into the new coach so much right now. We'll see how it works out. Maybe in a year or two they'll be a little better.
And
maybe
when
they have another quarterback, because Hasselbeck's reaching the end.
Yeah. And then finally, rounding out the NFC West with a 5-11 record, we have the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah.
Is there really anything to say about them?
No.
No, but there is something to say about the playoffs.
Speaking of the playoffs, of course, we're going to end up talking about the NFL playoffs based on our seeding.
All right, just to review the seeding, because I know it's been a while since we kind of updated it. The way that I have my seeding is I have the Pittsburgh Steelers, the defending Super Bowl champions, with the number one seed in the AFC and home field advantage throughout. The New England Patriots with the number two seed in the AFC. The Tennessee Titans with the number three seed in the AFC. Kansas City with number four. Because Castle's injury doesn't appear to be that severe, so I think he'll be good. Baltimore at number 5, Indy at number 6. John, how do you have your seeding in the AFC?
Everything's pretty much the same, except I have Houston at number 6.
What about number 4? Didn't you have the Chargers winning that division?
Oh, yeah, sorry. That's San Diego at number 4.
Okay. Now, the first playoff matchup that I'm going to look at is between the 3 and the 6, Tennessee and Indianapolis. I see Indianapolis winning that one. Because?
Peyton Manning.
And he'll be in the state of Tennessee, so the crowd's going to be like 50-50 for him. Because they love him there. The other playoff game in the AFC, Kansas City versus Baltimore. I'm laughing at this one already, because Kansas City's going to host the game, but Baltimore is clearly going to be the better team. This is going to be like a 30-3 type of game. Am I right?
Yeah.
So I see Baltimore beating Kansas City in that one. So both road teams in the AFC wildcard round are going to advance. In the case with – now, for those of you who gamble, which, you know, I've already figured out point spreads for this one. For Tennessee versus Indianapolis, I actually see that point spread being like Tennessee by 3.5. So you know Indy's going to cover. And then for Kansas City versus Baltimore, I see Baltimore being favored by 6. They're definitely going to cover. So consider it clairvoyant gambling knowledge. Now let's move on to yours.
Well, my 3-6 would be Tennessee and Houston. Houston, again, I like them as my sleeper. I'm going to go ahead and pick them as the big upset here. I'm going to say Houston's going to beat Tennessee.
Okay, well, a game like that, that would be in Tennessee, right?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. There's something about Houston.
Tennessee would probably be favored by like 6, so Houston is obviously covering.
The 4-5 matchup, it's another classic San Diego-Indianapolis matchup.
Well, usually the Chargers win that one.
Yeah, and because they have something to prove, I think they're going to win again. I love Peyton Manning, but San Diego is going to do it because they have to prove it to their fans and to the owner.
Yes. Now let's move on to the divisional round, where really two very intriguing games in the divisional round based off of how I have it. The first one, New England against Baltimore.
Very intriguing.
Who's not going to watch that game?
I mean, it's going to be really interesting to watch. Who would you be picking? It's going to be a real tough game.
That's a toss-up right there. I mean, it depends. Honestly, I think it depends a lot on Ed Reed. But I see the Patriots somehow finding a way to squeak it out based off of the home field advantage. As for the other one, and this is another intriguing one, Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. Again, I give it to the home, Pittsburgh. What about you? Your divisional round.
Well, my Patriots would end up be going against San Diego or Houston. It would probably end up being Houston. No, San Diego. It would end up being San Diego. There, as much as I have San Diego playing well throughout the season and going a little far in the playoffs, second round, they're done. They're done in this round. The Patriots are going to go on the championship round. Now, Pittsburgh versus Houston is going to be an interesting matchup, but Pittsburgh, defending champions, they're going to the championship round.
So that means that the both of us have Pittsburgh and New England in the AFC championship game.
Yep.
Oh, wait, before we get... Well, no, you know what? I'm not going to go with the point spread for the divisional round, but for the AFC championship game in Pittsburgh between Pittsburgh and New England, between the two teams of the decade.
Yeah, they have been the two teams of the decade. As much as I hate the Patriots...
And, you know, I know all the Colts fans are going to be like, hey, what about us? Well, here's the thing. Both the Steelers and the Patriots won more Super Bowls than you guys.
By the way, I had to throw in there. Fuck the Patriots.
Fuck the Patriots. But, you know, for you Colts fans, I mean, I have to throw Pittsburgh in there over you guys because Pittsburgh has won more titles than you guys have.
I like Pittsburgh way too much.
I like Pittsburgh way too much, too. I think they're finally going to get over that Patriots bugaboo. And to be honest with you...
We could possibly see a repeat this year.
To be honest with you about the Patriots, I think that title that they won in 2005 was their last for the time being. I really think that while they'll be good and they'll make it to the playoffs this year and they'll make it to the AFC Championship game this year, I think there's still kind of like that cloud hanging over them of that lost perfect season. I don't think that's ever going to really go away. They're never really going to recover from it.
Yeah, no, they're not. It's tough to really recover from that type of...
Yeah, so I'm going to go with... And I mean, I honestly think that last year, Castle was the better quarterback for them than Brady.
Yeah, he was great.
Because I think with Brady, that would have hung over him. Will it hang over him this year? I think that, plus the whole knee injury, he's going to be a bit tentative. They're still going to be good. They still have that great offensive line. But I don't think I think we've seen the last of the Tom Brady that we saw.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be setting records this year.
No.
He'll do well, but he's not going to be setting records.
Yeah, he'll do well, but he's not going to be the same guy. And I'm actually calling this right now after that first Dolphins-Pats game, because I think the Dolphins are going to win that first Dolphins-Pats game. Bill Simmons will write the eulogy for Tom Brady's career like he did in 2002 for Pedro and like he did this year for Ortiz. He always tends to do that, so I can see him doing that with Brady this time around.
Yeah, I see that happening.
Yeah, of course, Bill Simmons is the godfather of the Fanalist.
Yes. So
all praise to Mr. Simmons. He's the shit. Listen to his podcast, follow his Twitter. And it's not like we're angling for him to mention us in a column or a podcast or nothing.
Or invite us to do one. No,
Or invite us to do one with him, you know, so we can actually talk NBA with him. And I can point him out that the only reason why he wants LeBron to go to the Clippers is so that the Celtics will stay relevant, because if LeBron goes to the Heat, they're done.
Yeah. But no basketball. It's time. Let's go on to the NFC playoffs.
Yes, we'll go to the NFC playoffs, and my first playoff matchup is going to be between Green Bay and the Cowboys. I see the Cowboys winning that one, to be honest with you. Finally, Romo will deliver in January.
About time.
For one game. Because he has Philly next. But before we get to that, here's a good one. 49ers and Giants. Here's my upset special. Mainly because of the fact that they're at home. The 49ers.
I like that.
What say you about your NFC divisional playoffs?
Well, I'm looking at it right now. First, I have the Giants. So I'm just looking. I got to remember which one I had. Six, I actually have Minnesota. Minnesota Vikings at six. I actually have San Francisco winning the West at four, so it's going to be Atlanta versus Minnesota to start off.
Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta. And then my 4-5 matchup would be San Francisco versus Green Bay.
Well, history has dictated that Green Bay always beat San Francisco in this matchup, but that was back when they had Brett Favre when he was the best quarterback of the 1990s.
I like Aaron Rodgers, but I don't like him that much. I do like San Francisco. Do not overestimate Mike Singletary's influence on this team. I think they're going to squeak out one playoff win.
All right. Now getting to the divisional round. My first division round game, and you, oh man, you know this gets everyone hyped up.
Yeah.
Cowboys-Eagles.
Nice.
It's in Philly. I'm going with the Eagles for obvious reasons. Mainly because it's in Philly. Right?
Actually, whoa, I'm going to have to redo something here. I completely forgot because I had Philadelphia number two, but since they are in the East, they can't necessarily, they're going to have to be a wildcard team.
Ooh.
So, and Atlanta's my division winner, which means Green Bay. That's okay. Wow, this is all messed up.
We are not perfect. I'm sure you guys have noticed that
as
now.
As you can tell.
Right,
my number one's the Giants. Number two, let me just to make sure, is going to be Atlanta. Number three, would that be Green Bay? Four, San Francisco. Okay. Then we have five is going to be Philly. And then six is Minnesota. So the 3-6 matchup is not going to be Atlanta-Minnesota. It's actually going to be Green Bay-Minnesota. Interesting.
Oh! Just based off of that, you've made a much better playoff matchup.
Yeah. First round matchup is going to be Green Bay Packers versus the Favres. Minnesota Favres.
Yeah, the
I'm going to have to go with the Packers here.
It's in Lambeau, right?
Yeah, it's in Lambeau.
Oh, Packers for sure.
Packers for sure, because Packers are going to be the division winners and the 3-seed. So they're going to win that one. And then the 4-5 matchup is going to be, since I had said San Francisco, but because they're facing Philadelphia, because unfortunately Philadelphia at 12-4 is going to be a 5-seed.
Yeah.
No, they're not going to pass the first round. Philadelphia's going to go ahead and take that.
Most def. And then now getting to my divisional matchups. Like I mentioned before, Philly versus Dallas, because Philly's my number one seed. And like we mentioned before, Philly's going to take that one, and they're going to another NFC championship game. And then my other NFC division game, Atlanta versus the 49ers in Atlanta. Good game, right?
Very good game.
I see the Falcons pulling that one out. So Matt Ryan, in his second year as quarterback, is going to take on the Eagles in Philadelphia, which is where he's from, correct?
Yes.
Great little homecoming, but of course, you know, Philly fans are not exactly going to be welcoming him with open arms because he's playing for the Falcons.
No.
And the Eagles are going to end up taking that, and they're going to win the NFC, which leaves my Super Bowl matchup, the Battle of Pennsylvania in Florida. Did I mention that the Super Bowl is here in Miami this year?
Yes, and we will be there.
Yes, we will. We will provide for you live coverage, sort of live. Not live at all.
Somewhat. We'll be recording some stuff there live.
We're gonna hit up the NFL Experience. The other thing we're gonna do is we're gonna hit up Radio Row.
We're gonna try and get as many interviews as we can.
Maybe we can get some press credentials for Media Day.
We'll try. I mean, we can go ahead and say something. You never know. They might actually give it to us. And if
shit,
we provide,
they
the
give it to the Disney Channel, for God's sake.
So I'm going to try. We're going to see what we can do. Maybe we can get some interviews and everything, tell them we're putting on a podcast and see what they say. As far as my divisional rounds go, this is going to be a tough one because the Giants actually are going to be facing Philly in the divisional round. That's a tough matchup there. I have the Giants, though. Have the Giants squeaking out, barely. It's going to be one of those where Philadelphia just can't manage the time. So.
Well, that's what I have the Super Bowl being.
Well, mine's a little earlier just because of the matchup. So Giants are going to go on into the AFC champ, into the NFC Championship. Atlanta now versus Green Bay. I like Atlanta. Green Bay is a good team, but they're not good enough to beat Matt Ryan. So it's going to be Atlanta versus the Giants, 1-2 matchup in the NFC Championship.
Well, we both have the Falcons in the NFC Championship game, but do you have them losing like I do?
No, because they're facing the Giants.
You really think the Falcons can beat the Giants?
Yes. I really like Matt Ryan, man. I might be a little biased just because I went to BC, but I saw the dude play at BC, and let me tell you, when we didn't have talent on those teams, and he came.
Now you saw him play live, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now usually one of the things I noticed about the Dan Marino era when we used to go to just about every Dolphins game was the things that you don't pick up on TV, like the swagger that he always walked around with. No one ever talks about Marino's swagger, but I was there. I saw it live in person. He had it. The way that he just walked around, and he knew he was the best quarterback out there on the field. He knew he was, and he knew that that was his team. He knew he was the leader. He just had that swagger, and it rubbed off on everyone else on the team. And this was in the 94 season when he was just coming back from that torn AC, from that torn Achilles tendon injury. But you could see the swagger in his play and everything.
Well, when I watched Matt Ryan play, I saw a similar swagger to Dan Marino's. And this is a guy that his first year that he actually played, he played mostly injured. I mean, he gained leadership through that year, and people started to trust him. He's one of those type of players where you're going to see that swagger, and he's going to be an elite quarterback for years to come. That's why I think he's going to be a surprise this year. And with the addition of Tony Gonzalez, it's going to take him over the top. I expect a Tony Gonzalez touchdown, red zone touchdown pass to be the difference maker over the Giants as they go into the Super Bowl.
So you see the Falcons making it to the Super Bowl?
Yep.
And you
big sleeper prediction.
And will you be wearing all your Boston College gear when we go out to the Super Bowl? And
I'll wear my Boston College. I'll find a Boston College Matt Ryan jersey because I could never buy one at the time, and I forgot to buy one. But I will find one out there, and I will put it on and wear it. And I will try and actually go to him and have him sign and be like, man, I used to watch you at college. I would love to go up to him and be, dude, I used to watch you at college. You were amazing. I couldn't wait for you to get to the league. I wish you were on the Dolphins, but...
Well, he could have been, but... I don't mind the direction that they went.
No, obviously, we weren't in the position to take a quarterback. We needed other things at the time, so I understand the addition. But you never know. Maybe later down the road, something happens.
Okay, so I have Pittsburgh versus Philadelphia in the Super Bowl. You have Pittsburgh versus Atlanta.
Yes.
So I have Pittsburgh winning the Super Bowl. What say you?
This one's going to be a tough one to decide. I do like Pittsburgh, but it's going to be close. It's going to be close. I do like Matt Ryan a lot. I don't know if he's going to pull it out. I'm going to go out there and say he's pulling it out against Pittsburgh.
So you have the Falcons winning the Super Bowl?
Yes, I do.
You heard it here first.
People are going to call me crazy, but hey, go ahead and vote for it or go gamble wherever you want to go. If they end up winning, I want...
Why don't you look up the odds?
I want 50% of whatever you get.
Why don't you look up the Falcons Super Bowl odds?
Falcons in the Super Bowl.
Now, keep in mind, technically we don't gamble because technically it's illegal.
Yeah.
But say if we were in Las Vegas, and by the way, happy birthday to Michael Jackson.
He would have been 50 today.
51.
51, yes.
All right. Let's take a look at this. Falcons Super Bowl odds.
I'll keep on reading. Keep on. What do you think about that? Personally, I'm telling you, there's something about this Falcon team and the addition. I think what they were missing really was that Tony Gonzalez. That's how big I think it's going to be.
Yeah, no, it was definitely big, and I do see the Falcons making noise. I mean, I do put them in the NFC Championship game. Christ, why do I always do that? But okay, there's regular season win total. The over under is 8.5. Obviously we're choosing the over.
Yeah.
Their odds to win the NFC South plus 220. And the odds to win the Super Bowl is 2,200.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and probably bet soon on this team, okay? I'm going to go out there. Hey, if anyone bets on the Falcons and they heard it from here, I'm telling you, I want 50%. I want half. I'm not gonna take more than you. I'm going to split the cost. I'm not that greedy. Split the cost.
For all you degenerate gamblers out there. Yeah.
Falcons. I'm telling you. Watch out for the Falcons. It's one of those moves that I really loved in the offseason. Probably one of the best moves in the offseason, aside from what Philly did. But... watch out for the Falcons.
Yes, watch out for the Falcons.
It's going to be a different type of bird
and,
in the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm not saying it's even going to be a bird. I'm saying it's going to be a steel man. I know mine's is, boring and predictable, but I just think the AFC is that much better than the NFC, and I don't consider the Falcons one of the teams in the NFC that can compete with an AFC team. And yes, I know the Falcons are going to beat the Dolphins in Week 1. I know that. That's okay. Anyways, on to the quote-unquote amateur football, quote-unquote, the NCAA. That's right, college football. it's supposed to be amateur, but when was the last time the NCAA was really an amateur program?
Yeah, yeah. Now, we're not going to go in too much in depth. We're mainly going to say who we think is going to be in the bowl game.
Yeah, and by basing who's going to be in the bowl games, I'm pretty sure you can figure out who's going to win what BCS conferences. Because that's all we're really going to focus on. So, all of you fans of Boise State and TCU and all that, I'm sorry. You know, all you Mountain West fans, I'm sorry. We'll give you guys love during basketball season. But during football season, you know, Mountain West, whack. I mean, no offense to you. Don't blame us. Blame the racket that is the bowl championship series.
Yeah, if it were more like the basketball...
We'd be giving you guys plenty of love, because I'd be like, oh, well, let's see. First round matchup, Boise State versus FSU. I see Boise State taking this one.
Yeah, yeah.
And that wouldn't even be a contest.
Football
think.
Would be so much more exciting.
It would.
Plus, you know what? So what? They played two or three more games, some of the teams, maybe four more games. What? So the teams that end up becoming, you know, those powerhouses, the ones that you want to see over there, play more games, which means they get more experience. So when they get into the NFL, they don't get tired at the end. Big fucking whoop.
Yeah.
I think that would actually help. But
yeah.
Anyways, Orange Bowl.
All right, the Orange Bowl, which of course pits the ACC champion against either the Big East champion or an at-large team. Well, it's going to be the Big East champion that's going to make their appearance in there, because winning the Big East this year, I see the University of South Florida. Let's go Bulls. Although, the University of South Florida, I have my gripe against them because of the fact that they're not actually located in South Florida. They're located in Tampa, which is in Central West Florida. Who the fuck named these things?
Yeah. My pick, actually, though, is going to
And they're going to go against Virginia Tech.
I have Virginia Tech in there as well, but not against University of South Florida. Pitt.
So you're actually going to count on Dave Wanstead?
No, I'm going to count on Pitt, not on Dave Wanstead.
But Dave Wanstead's the coach of Pitt.
I know.
And you know he's bound for at least three or four brain farts this year.
Doesn't matter. The Big East sucks.
The Big East does suck, and that's why I have the University of South Florida in there. I actually think that overall, the University of South Florida is the strongest team, you know, going into the future. Which, you know, I'm going to get to I'm going to get to an idea for a football conference in a little bit with that.
There's just something to be said about a guy with a Wanstache.
Yes.
He's got one of the best mustaches in all of football.
Yeah, we do miss the Wanstache. We don't miss him as coach of the Dolphins, but...
Just the Wanstache, man.
Yeah.
If anything, we should erect a memorial of just his face showing the Wanstache somewhere around Landshark Stadium.
Copyright 2009, Dan Levitard.
Yes. Fiesta Bowl.
The Fiesta Bowl, which is usually between the Big 12 champion and an at-large team. Well, the Big 12 champion's not going to go in there, and well, you'll understand why in a second. Instead, it will be the team that finishes in second place in the Big 12, which, of course, is Oklahoma. Okay?
Not for me. I go OK State.
OK State?
Yes.
Why?
Because of the coach. You got to love the coach. If no one has seen his rant, look it up on
Everyone
YouTube.
Has seen that rant. Everyone knows, I'm a man! I'm 40!
Well, yeah, you're probably actually 41, 42 now, and you're going to be in the Fiesta Bowl.
Which would be great for him. I have the Oklahoma Sooners going against the East Carolina Pirates. And once again, I have Oklahoma losing a BCS game.
I have OK State going against Utah.
Ooh, intriguing.
It's going to be a good matchup, and I actually think Utah is going to pull it off. Again.
Now, do you think Utah is going to finish undefeated again?
No, I actually think they'll have one loss this year.
Oh, I don't know. They probably won't let them in if they have one loss. You know how the BCS works. It's a fucking racket.
I like them going in. Fuck the BCS.
Well, man. I have East Carolina going in because I think they will finish undefeated, and they have a terrific schedule where if they finish undefeated, people are going to have to notice them. My upset pick in college football, I believe it's November 7th, and it's going to be on TV, East Carolina versus Virginia Tech. In East Carolina.
Nice. Great game for them. Yeah, East Carolina is actually another...
They're going to put themselves on the map with that.
They're another...
And that's what's going to get them... And that's what's going to get them into the Fiesta Bowl, because they're going to finish undefeated, and then people are going to be like, wait a second, how can Virginia Tech go to the Orange Bowl and East Carolina be kept out of the Fiesta Bowl? Makes sense, right?
Yeah, yeah. I have them going in as well. It's going to be another at-large team in the Sugar Bowl. And, yes, SEC is supposed to get in the Sugar Bowl, but because the one SEC team that would win and go to the Sugar Bowl will be in another big game, which we'll get to in a couple games from now. So Penn State, I think, is going to take that place. It's going to be Penn State versus ECU.
Well, no, actually, they're not going to go with Penn State for that one because usually they go with the SEC runner-up, which, of course, is going to be LSU. All you Alabama fans, sorry.
LSU.
Yeah, you're changing
it. Yeah, I completely forgot about that rule.
Yeah, remember, it's the automatic tie-in type thing. The only way would be if, like, another SEC team did not qualify for a BCS Bowl, but the SEC always brings two.
Yeah, I never said I was an expert, so.
Yeah, me neither. And then for the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl. Well, first off, the Sugar Bowl, LSU versus Ohio State. Do we really have to tell you who's going to win that game?
No.
Because we all know, first off, LSU is pretty much going to have home field advantage.
We've all seen how Ohio State's played in any game the last few years. So.
Against the SEC.
Yes.
Against the Big Ten, they always run shit.
Yeah. But
except this year, because the Big Ten champion is going to be Penn State. And they're going to take on USC in the Rose Bowl. I see Penn State actually upsetting USC.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I'm going to have Ohio State just there just because I know everyone loves them, and I think they're going to be there again against USC, but I like USC
again. Well, I have Penn State beating Ohio State this year, which is why Penn State's going to be the ones in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I would love to see Penn State there, but I don't know. I just have.
And now, for the national championship game, which I believe we both agree on, it's the
drum roll, please.
First off, trivia. What two states do you think are the best two states for high school and college football in the country?
Florida and Texas.
Very good. Oh, wait, our national championship game is between the Gators and the Longhorns.
Coincidence? No.
No, not at all. So, not at all. Wait a second. Who do you think are the two best coaches in college football?
Urban Meyer.
And Mac Brown.
Yep.
Who are going to be the two coaches of these teams?
Yep.
The two best quarterbacks in college football.
Yep.
Tim Tebow and Colt McCoy, right?
Yeah, the Heisman winner and the Heisman runner-up.
Yeah, he's my Heisman winner, too.
Tim Tebow will be the Heisman winner going against the Heisman runner-up in Colt McCoy.
Yes.
And I think Florida is going to end up winning a third national championship, and you could probably cement Tim Tebow as the greatest college player of all time, if that does occur.
You could.
Three national championships, two Heismans, yeah.
You have to.
And you see him going there because, you know what, look at what happened last year. They had that one loss, and Tim Tebow said, look, that one's on me. It's never happening again. You don't think that's going to happen.
And they put that on a plaque.
Yeah. That's not going to happen again this year.
No.
He's not going to let the team lose at all.
Let's just say this. After this being Tebow's senior season, I don't think he's going to the NFL. I think he's entering his hat in the race for governor.
It's a possibility. I still see him going to the NFL. I know a lot of people don't like him in the NFL.
No. He's going to run for governor. You know why? They will elect him by a landslide.
Oh, yeah. They'll elect him for sure, but I really do want to see him in the NFL.
He got 12 write-in votes in the presidential election. Keep in mind, he's not even eligible to run for president because he's not old enough yet.
Yeah.
But he got 12 write-in votes. And on top of that, he just looks like he's made for politics. Seriously, if I were the Republican Party, because I think his beliefs seem pretty conservative and everything.
Yeah, I'm pretty much over the Republican Party right now. But
well, if I were the Republican Party, they need some new blood. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who better than Tim Tebow?
He would be good.
Honestly.
It would be good if, let's say, less than 20 years from now, if something like that does happen.
Tebow?
I would like to see it.
President Tebow.
I would like to see it. Of course, it would have to come with a revamped Republican Party because most of the people in there are trash. I don't like them at all. And look, I'm registered Republican. I am conservative. But look, I can tell you right now, most of the people in my party, like John McCain, yes, I was going to vote for him over Obama. Yes, I put that out there. I'm saying it. I don't care. I'm not going to deny it. I was going to vote for him only because he was the lesser of the two evils.
You got to be careful with that because, you know, Obama might be searching the internet, you know, seeing if anyone says anything bad about him.
Yeah, not yet. So I'm getting away with it for now until he finally, we'll get into that in a different podcast because there's some serious stuff going on.
And we are going to do a special political podcast.
We told you in the beginning that if there was anything important we had to talk about not related to sports, we have done it before. We've had Michael Jackson. There's something real important that you guys got to know about politic-wise for all you ignorant motherfuckers out there. Don't just listen to the crap. Go out and look at the facts, and we'll show you when we have our political podcast.
Yes, but Florida versus Texas, can you really make a prediction with that?
It's going to be a close game. I actually, as much as I like the offenses, I see the defenses coming into play. I have Florida 2017 over Texas.
Wow. to tell you the truth.
With the winning play, it's gonna come down to the last jump drive, pass? Jump pass. Yeah.
I have that same thing too, except I see it being more. I see it being more 35-32.
Okay.
I see it being more of an offensive struggle. Yeah. Well, we've already talked about Tebow's the opposite of the pompous ass.
Yeah. No.
He is probably one of the nicest guys in the world. Yeah. From all accounts, and I mean, you can just tell that he's a first-class character, which means unless he does something ridiculously wrong, Tim Tebow will never be pompous ass.
Pompous ass.
That, of course, means
the pompous ass list.
Yes, which, like we said before, Tebow's never going to be on, but we do have someone on here. We're actually going to name a subscriber to the pompous ass list.
Yes, name him.
Well, I'm not really going to name him. I don't think that's such a great idea, but let's just say his initials are GRJ. He is originally from Boston, Massachusetts, by way of El Paso. And this is the same guy I was telling you about that thought that Dan Marino was on the undefeated team. But on top of that, he also threatened the lives of myself and my cousin and threatened to take a shit on our graves if the Patriots finished with more wins than the Dolphins did in our lifetimes. That, therefore, makes you a
pompous ass. Also, we're changing the name right now. It's no longer going to be the Kanye West pompous ass memorial. It's going to end up being the Brett Favre memorial pompous ass list. Reason being, Brett Favre has been enshrined into the pompous ass Hall of Fame.
He's a first ballot pompous ass Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about it.
We have two more. Brandon Marshall, you are in the pompous ass list. And Jay Cutler, you're in the pompous ass list. First of all, Jay Cutler, you're in the pompous ass list for your tirades, which began Brandon Marshall's tirade. And I just got to go off on this. Look, why is it that people who are making millions of dollars to play a fucking sport seem to have to whine about everything? That includes you, Chad Ochocinco, okay? Chad Johnson, Ochocinco. How could you have
whatever your name, the fucking name is.
Whatever. You should be on the pompous ass list too, but I'll save you for next week. Brandon Marshall, you're a little bitch. If you're not going to go ahead and practice and show up when they're paying you millions of dollars to play at a position that obviously, in my opinion, you don't deserve, then get the fuck off my team. Alright? Mm-hmm. Pompous ass.
Pompous ass. And again, with another football-related pompous ass, have we named Bill Belichick to that list yet?
No, but he's going to be on there.
Let's just name him on that list right now. But we all know that Belichick is a pompous ass. He's a fucking pompous ass Hall of Famer. In fact, they should put that on his little plaque in Canton.
Yes.
That here, like, you know, Bill Belichick, head coach of the Cleveland Browns from 1990 to 1994 when he was terrible.
Yes, when he was terrible. And of course came Patriots.
Hold on, no, but before that, remember he pretty much stabbed the New York Jets in the back because Parcells is like, here, take this job. Look, I built this team for you. You have Pennington as quarterback. You have Keyshawn. You have Krabet. You have Curtis Martin as your running back. You have this great team around you. It's yours. Here are the car keys. And he took the job, and he accepted the job and everything, did the little, you know, press conference, you know, from the New York media. 2 days later, he resigned to take the head coaching job with the Patriots.
Good job, buddy. And, of course, yeah, he was successful. Spygate.
Spygate, and Rodney Harrison's HGH.
Yeah, shall I say Spygate again? So, yeah, Belichick, you're on the pompous ass list. And if it wasn't for Brett Favre being a much bigger pompous ass than you are,
we would have named it after you.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he took it before you. And Brett Favre, yeah, thanks for coming back.
Dipshit. I honestly hope that the entire, when he does come to Green Bay, the entire city of Green Bay just, you know.
Can they just, like, throw cheese at him? I would love to see cheese thrown at him. Anything. Wrangler jeans. I mean, whatever you want to throw at him. Just go wild.
And with that, we are going to have to close that out. So I'd like to thank everybody for watching. We are the Fanalists. I'm Tom.
I'm John, and wait, before we go, let me also plug in my new blog that's out there. It's called Have a Sip on Me. It's all on politics, and we're going to be talking about some of the stuff I've written, but the address is Have a Sip on Me, exactly how you would spell that. If you're ignorant, look it up online. Okay, Have a Sip on Me, 1211.blogspot.com.
And we will link it on the MySpace and Facebook page, which, of course, we plug at the end. So, for everyone, good night.
Later.
This has been another edition of Too Big to Fail Sports. You can email us at TooBigToFailPodcast@gmail.com or find us on MySpace, search Too Big to Fail Sports. Tweet us at Too Big to Fail Sports on Twitter or Skype us at TOOBIGTOOFAIL Sports.